Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. So the good news this afternoon is that we have the entire open air show this afternoon dedicated to the topic of recording and listening. So if you were listening to last week's show, you heard us announce that. It came from, I suppose it was, I don't know, 3 weeks or so ago that I interviewed Alex on the Good News Update about recording and listening. And Sherry came on and really made quite an amazing kind of talk to us about some of the next pieces of recording and listening and insight that she'd been having and wanted to share it with the Sangha. And it sparked so much interest in the Sangha in many different avenues that we thought it would be fun to dedicate an entire show to it. So we're doing that this afternoon. And so if you didn't have word of that and you've called in about another topic, we'd either invite you as we're giving the introduction and you listen to it. If you something resonates for you, to just stay on the line and talk about recording and listening. Or if you have a different topic that you really want to stick to, if you would be willing to call again next week, we'd most appreciate it. So I thought we'd start by kind of setting the context for people who may have not heard that original show. So good afternoon, Sherry. Are you there?
I am.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I just tell people that we've been having quite a lot of fun.
We actually have.
Around the old Monastery Peace
uh-huh.
Center, as we often do, because retreat season is over, and so now we get down to the behind-the-scenes work.
Yep.
And so we're in our strategic planning phase and laying out all of the projects that we want to do, primarily for the monastery, to get the food all together for next retreat season and all of the place ready and beautiful as we can make it. And we have a huge focus on the garden, where a new fence is going up around the garden to replace the one that is about 30 years old and wasn't that special in the first place.
Right.
And so there's just it's a beehive of activity, and we actually raced from out of that meeting into this call.
Good.
Very exciting. And so that's now we're transitioning into a different focus for this show.
It's fun, isn't it? It's really
yeah.
It's a full-time monastery. It's we have retreat season, and then it truly takes the time between retreat season ends and starts again to prepare for the next retreat season
yeah.
and all that goes into that
yeah.
spiritually and physically and
yeah.
All
and
things.
So as always, you know, I think I spoke to people about this. I think it was in one of the newsletters recently, but and we talk about it with some regularity. We are definitely interested in old-timers, people who are seasoned in practice, who want to come and participate with us in this way. It's a very different kind of way to be at the monastery than to be there during retreat season. And it's nice. There's a lot of different kind of work. It's quieter. And
lots of sitting.
There's more. Tends to be more sitting. And except when we're in huge days of pulling new fences and things like that. So if there are old timers who think, oh, I'd like to pitch in with that, I'd like to lend a hand with that, then they should write in and let us know.
And it's a tremendous service. It really is. I mean, because as we were having those meetings that you're talking about, simultaneously the work is happening. The work is getting done on a physical level. So it's
yeah.
really a huge service.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. In fact, the visiting monks who are here now are really enabling us to get this done.
It, yep.
That's just what it comes down to, because we couldn't do it on our own, and because we're a frugal sort of a practice, we tend not to, we don't ever want to spend large amounts of money paying to have people come in and do things. We like it to be a Sangha sort of thing from beginning to end, and so fortunately, Sangha does come and lend a hand, neighbors and folks from far away and folks who live here, and between us all we make it happen. And so we just want to invite anyone who finds that possibility appealing to let us know, come and join us.
Tons of fun. So I listened again. We got the archive, by the way.
I heard.
The missing archive, yay.
Yeah.
Because that was the very one that I was referring to just a minute ago, which was just, again, so special to, you know, to hear. And I think a big stepping stone for a lot of people, and so it was a little bit of a heartbreak that that was the only archive we've ever had any trouble with.
Right. And it was October 16th, is that correct?
It was.
Yeah, for people who want to go back and hear it.
Yeah. So I went back and listened to it again, and some of the things I pulled out just because I wanted to give folks the context for this evening. You know, you were talking about the big focus, one of the things we've really been looking at over the last year, of that the notion that there's no change in consciousness without a change in behavior.
Yes.
And it seemed like a big thing that you were really talking about is that the recording and listening is, it's really kind of the way. I mean, there's tons of ways, but it's the primary way that we can support ourselves in making the change that we're already clear we know we want to make.
Yes.
You know, my heart knows what I want to do in a day to support myself to do practice and
yes.
to, you know, it makes everything work.
And
to
have the life you want.
And have the life I
right.
want, exactly.
Because that's the piece that's important for us to put together, right?
Yes.
I
yes.
do all of these things to assist me in being here, present in the moment, and that's what produces the life I want.
Exactly.
So karmic conditioning would tell us, no, what I need to do is go out and get the life I want,
right.
and then I'll be happy. But it just doesn't work that way.
It just simply doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, yes, proceed.
Yeah. And so what I heard you talking about in that section where you were going over it was just how powerful it can be to not just use the, you know, there's recording and listening with reassurances and that sort of thing, and that certainly has a place. But to really use it as a way to, we were talking specifically about waking up in the morning, to reach a hand through the conditioning, straight through it, to the person who knows what they want to do, who wants to make this difference in their lives. And to, it's almost like a coaching, it's a mentoring thing that you're
yes.
doing. And
yes.
using the recording for that. And so that was really what we wanted to invite people to speak to today.
Yes. And, you know, the language points us in that direction. Because if I'm talking, excuse me, to my granddaughter, I might, I would be talking as, we hope, a compassionate big person to a child, to a little person who needs to know that they're loved and cared for and no matter what and, you know, but it's the beginnings of, so, you know, if that child is a few months old, then you just hold them and make gooey sounds at them. But as the child gets older, there is the component of, I love you no matter what. You cannot do it wrong. I love you no matter what. But mentoring is a different proposition. And what mentoring is saying is, so if I'm talking to a little person, then I love you no matter what. And that little person is getting a lot of messages that she or he is not lovable. Hearing a lot of, no, don't do that, what's the matter, you know, stop it, what, all of those kinds of messages that we get as little kids. And so that's the beginning possibility of sorting out the difference between a behavior and consciousness.
Very good.
Right? So if that child is doing something, you know, it's the classic parenting message. You know, I love you. I love who you are. I don't like what you're doing. And that's a critical distinction to make. It's a critical distinction to make for a little kid, and it's a critical distinction to make for an adult.
It really is.
So mentoring is really a different proposition. If I'm going to mentor you, say, I'm not going, the message is not, I love you no matter what. I mean, that's nice, but it's not the point. The point is, I know who you are. I know what you're capable of. I can see that in you when you can't. So I'm going to hold this place, this steady anchoring place that says, yes, you can. Of course you can. You need to apply yourself. You need to turn your attention. You need to show up. You need to do it. And of course you can. So when you're listening to, you know, your karmic conditioning and you're listening to the voices that say, oh, I don't know what to, and maybe, in fact, you have identified with a very small child who's afraid, who's listening to voices that are beating her up,
mm-hmm.
okay? The mentor is in that place of, okay, Now, look me in the eye. Remember who you are. This is what you want. This is what you want to stand for. This is how you want your life to be. This is what you're choosing. So remember that. There. Remember that change of consciousness that brought you to that awareness? Okay, there you are. Now, what are the behaviors that go with that? What are the behaviors that support that consciousness that you know you want to live in?
Boy, that was incredibly helpful, just that last 3 minutes. I mean, you just laid it all out perfectly.
Well, good.
Because that's what we want to do.
I want a pay raise, okay?
I'll look into it.
Right.
I'll bring it to strategic planning.
Okay.
But so, because you went all the way from, so there I am, maybe identified all the way with a small child. You know, if I've been unconscious long enough, that's where it ends up, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's where conditioning wants me to be, because that's where I'm most vulnerable and it can get me. Because if I become that small child, I'll believe anything it says.
That's exactly right. And there's nobody else there.
And there's nobody else there.
Yep.
So in that mentoring, what you just did that was so amazing is you began where, you know, in this example, where I am. And where I am is this little small child, right? But you're not staying there with that little small child because you know that's not really where I want to live.
That's right. And on top of it, what I know is that child is fine.
Yes.
What we need
yes.
to accomplish is to get you to remember
exactly.
that you are not that small child
yeah.
who is helpless and inadequate yeah. and all of those things. You are a grown-up
yeah.
with skills and abilities and awareness and the ability to pay attention and of spiritual practice. And the focus is getting you to make that disidentifying shift so that, okay, all right, okay, I get it. I'm a grown-up now. What am I supposed to do?
Yep, yeah. And then that thing of, okay, so what was the change in consciousness? Okay, yep, we got that. And what are the behaviors that go with that? And that's such an invitation to, you know, me as the person being mentored to go, right. What I want to do is I want to get up and exercise. Right, got it. And then I'm making the choice. No one's making me do it. And that's such an empowering, joyful place.
That's exactly right. And that's the important piece of it. It's not somebody being browbeaten into being the person they should be. We really are calling upon the correct person for the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah? So if what we're doing is turning it over to conditioned mind, then that's the way self-hate works. Oh, you lazy slug. What, you know, you're never going to have the life you want, right? And emotionally, now again, this could be a person who's on their way to a job in an office. Or driving a police car or flying an airplane or
right.
any number of things. And emotionally,
yeah.
they feel like a little kid who's getting punished.
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's, again, that the mentoring moves the person through a process of disidentification such that, and the way you described it, you know, it's kind of that coming to. Oh, right.
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yes.
Yep.
Okay. And as soon as we make contact with that person wants to do
exactly.
everything that we want for our lives.
Yes. And it takes it out of that, basically the battering cycle where the opposite of the, you know, beaten down, oh my God, is the, okay, come on, I can do this.
Right.
Because I should, because it makes me the right person.
And I don't want to, and it's
exactly.
going to fail, and then I get another beating, and
yeah.
it's just this hopeless cycle.
Yeah.
So the reason that people, you know, the reason we came up with the Zen Awareness Coaching Program is exactly this. We need somebody. Now, I could get in a lot of trouble for this, and I'm not saying that this is true across the board, but there is a lot of it in the world. So there's a lot of coaching that basically does to people what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate does. So we had a woman at a retreat who had completely bought into the program given to her by her coach that the way for her to accomplish all of the things that she wanted to accomplish in the day, which included learning a foreign language, an hour of exercise, meditate, two or three other things, before getting to work at 8 a.m.,
oh.
was to sleep less and less and less and less. And of course, her stress level was through the roof. She was, you know, she was unhappy, but she was completely convinced that if she made herself do all of these things, then she would be happy. Now, this is not good, and in my opinion, and it's not mentoring. Mentoring is holding up a mirror for a person that says, you're a capable, competent, intelligent, aware, sincere person. Now, look to see what it is that you want to do, and as the mentor, I will help you remember this so that you don't get distracted and get pulled off into these old conditioned, self-hating places that are just a quagmire of suffering.
Yep, yep. And because I love you, because I want this.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's
because I know who you are.
Yeah. It's a great experience of unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about them together, these two processes together, as if they have something to do with one another, only because people experience them as being, in essence, side by side. They're not. The you should, you'd better, if you don't, you loser process has nothing to do with the mentoring process that we do in awareness practice.
And
nothing.
If I'm following what you're saying, because that you should, you ostensibly, people get confused and think that's actually trying to make me, like in that woman's case, trying to get me to do the things that are going to be good for me, but it's not at all.
That's right.
It's simply
this is
a system of self-hate.
That's right. This is what I need to do to be the person that I should be so that I'll have the life that I want, so that I'll be happy. Yes. And karmic conditioning convinces people that that is true.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's never been true. It will not ever work. And until a person puts that behind them, they actually can't be open to the thing that will work, which is this completely different other thing called awareness practice, unconditional love, acceptance.
Wow. Well, that kind of takes care of it right there.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Jen.
Exactly. Well, maybe we can hear what other people are
saying. See you next week. Yeah. Maybe
but
other
that really,
people
that was
like...
very helpful, Sherry. I mean, I'm really, I'm so grateful for that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one thinking this right now, to get that, just that section that you just talked about on a recording and listen to that regularly, that's going to be incredibly helpful.
Good, good.
Yeah. So, Michael, I think we're just about ready to take callers. I think you probably have a couple announcements.
I do, and I'm hesitant to mention them because it's such a fabulous conversation.
It is good, isn't it?
Yes, yes, great. So I'll get right to the point. There's a new workshop coming up in Palo Alto, California, on Saturday, December 8th. It's entitled Gift of Your Presence. It will include a day of inspiring exercises and guided imageries designed to remind us of what we want for ourselves and our lives.
Very in keeping with what we were just talking about.
Yes, exactly. And there are still openings in the New Year's retreat with you, Sherry. It includes meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
Mm.
And that's December 27th through January 1st. We're in a new location in Menlo Park, California. Beautiful grounds and the often mentioned private rooms with attached private baths.
I don't care what the food is like. I don't care about any of it. I have my own bathroom. I'm excited.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Shall we jump in here?
Yes, please. Let's do.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, this is Elizabeth calling in.
Hello, Elizabeth.
So about recording and listening, I'm a beginner.
Uh-huh.
And I tried it a few times, and what would you say to someone who just who doesn't like hearing their voice?
I would say that is one of the all-time largest scams put forth by karmic conditioning to control people. I was actually shocked, Elizabeth, when I started doing this stuff, that is an almost universal reaction. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say initially, "Oh, and you know, I really like the sound of my voice." Now, after people have been doing it for a while, they're really surprised that they move from "I hate the sound of my voice" to "I find the sound of my voice really comforting and nurturing." So, what you want to do is just get over it.
And how do I keep it from becoming like recording and listening? Sherry Huber says we should do this for mentoring and awareness, and it becomes a should.
Well, first of all of those things will happen. Because what we want to keep in mind is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is a survival system that is built to keep you from experiencing unconditional love and acceptance. Are you with me just on that one sentence?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because if you are living in unconditional love and acceptance, it really is out of business, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can't tell you what to do and push you around and try to make you feel bad. You cease to provide any juice for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to do everything to keep you from doing this. It just will. I mean, it'll run everything it's got to try to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you can do is just make a list of it. Okay. And you could even do a recording that says, here are some of the ways that the voices of karmic conditioning will try to stop me from practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to those. And so when the voice says, well, you should meditate, Sherry says you should meditate, that's the thing that you ought to do, then, you know, you file that under, this is one of the things that karmic conditioning does to try to stop me from meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make a list of recordings that says, these are the things that I choose to do, that I want to do for myself, because I know they will provide for me the kind of life I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so in that way. Now, do you have children?
Just inner children.
Inner children. Okay. Well, if you had external children,
mm-hmm.
then the sound of your voice would be the most comforting thing in the world to them. The sound of your voice would translate directly as love and care and kindness and safety and warmth and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
There would not be a single, oh, I really don't like the sound of her.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that is saying that, you know, does not have your best interest at heart. And you know that nobody, none of those little people living inside of you, is going to hear your voice comforting and caring for them as anything other than beautiful.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Anything else about recording and listening?
I'm just afraid I'll never get over it, but I intensely dislike my voice.
No.
But you say get over it. So.
Yeah. And here's the deal. This is subtle, but I know you're ready for it. That's not you. That's not you saying that. The voice is saying, I really don't like the sound of my own voice. But I promise you, that's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate saying it. Now, it's taken you over. You're identified with it. And so when it says, I hate the sound of my own voice, you go, yeah, I do. But it's not you. It's not your heart.
No.
Your heart is never going to hate anything about you.
Right. So when I hear my voice, I'm automatically identified with self-hate.
That's right. And that's how it gets you. And so you can just comfort yourself with that. Okay? I hear voices. you can do a projection exercise on them. So what I hear you saying is you don't like the sound of my voice. So, you know, there are a couple of things that we can do because this is my voice, and this is the only voice I've got, and thank God I've got one. And so if you don't like the sound of my voice, I would suggest that you not listen.
Okay.
Right? Because it's your practice. It's your voice. It's your life. It's your heart. It's your freedom. It's your joy. If somebody doesn't want to participate in that, let them go somewhere else.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, well, thank you. I don't want to take up any more time on the call, but I appreciate you letting me just be honest about where I am with all of this.
Oh, honesty is our practice. Because okay. Here's the thing, and I know, I don't want to hang you up, but here's the thing. What we look at always in practice is who you are, and you being the, you know, all of us, who we are authentically, and then this other parasite that is attached called egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say what's going on with you, any of us, when we say what's going on with us, then we get a chance to sort out, is that the heart? Is that authentic being? Or is that this parasite of karmic conditioning that has attached itself to a human being? And that's what practice is. So we never want to hold anything back or not say anything because that's just colluding with it to keep it a secret. Then it's only talking to you. And what we mm-hmm. want to do in practice is expose everything as quickly as possible because that's how we get clear about who's who and what's what.
And that's really scary.
It is really scary.
thank you.
So big congratulations and thank you to the person who had courage enough to do it, right? You could make a recording about that.
I will.
All right. Good woman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, you've been hearing a lot of me recently.
I know. We're going to get some nice jackets from you just in time for the Christmas season. They're going to say
Yay.
Living compassion on them and possibly even have a little monk. We don't know. Yes, great.
Oh, God.
However, what's going on with recording and listening?
With recording and listening?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a recording and listening show.
This is.
Oh, I'm going to have to call back next week.
Okay. You don't have anything
But what I can tell you about recording and listening is I'm redoing the email class on resistance.
Oh,
and
the
passages in both the A and B assignments, you know, just kind of giving us a place to look have been unbelievable recordings. And so, like, listening to old recordings, it feels like I very much see my habits and, you know, that whole thing of we can't solve, you know, the problems that conditioned mind has created. It feels like listening to, you know, what I'm guided to look at in the resistance class and then also recording some of the responses have just been really great in terms of interrupting the, you know, ordinary loops or what I hear a lot of my recordings, and mm-hmm. it feels like those things that are more, just interrupting what I'm used to is just been so beneficial.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
So I was, I'm not sure if this is part of what you're looking at, but today I was listening to, hang on one second. I would start coughing and then quietly choke to death here on the that'd be a way to go. And then there's just silence. I wonder what happened to her. So I was going back listening to I often go you know, back and listen to old recordings. And I was pulling out the kind of essential points. So you mentioning
yep.
the habit thing. you know, that's such a weapon that karmic conditioning has, is that we can't remember. You know, it gets us down into some part of some conditioning thing, and about the time we catch on to that, then it switches over to another thing, and then by the time we come back to that original one, we've forgotten all about it, and then we have to start learning it all over again. And so pulling out those places that I just repeat on a weekly, a monthly, a yearly cycle, because my karma does repeat, right? I mean, that's what karma does. We're just playing it out over and over and over. And so if I periodically take those kind of stumbling blocks, talk about them as that, note the changes that have happened around them, where I am now with them, and I listen to that, then I'm much less likely to get fooled by some sort of old karma that I haven't looked at in several weeks or several months.
Yeah. And Sherry, to tie in recording and listening with what I was going to talk about, and tying it into habits, and as you know, I have a lot of karma around care, you know, caring a lot, and then, you know, so I can get identified with that. And so I don't know if there's any kind of insight, like a one-line piece of insight that maybe I need to hear right now around care.
give me an example, would you, of how it plays out?
Caring, I see that someone else is in need of something, and I think, oh gosh, I think I can be a bridge to it, and then life totally supports me being a bridge to it, and then this person has their own experience and a reaction to something, and this thing doesn't happen. And then years go by, and this issue comes back up again. And wanting to assist this person in being a bridge again, and
the bridge keeps collapsing.
Yeah, the bridge keeps collapsing, and you know, this is around you know, a very indigent person that helps me out a lot around my house and about. Not having many teeth, and the bridge of, you know, my coming into this dentist that needed some help, and he was able to help him, and he was going to help him out with his teeth, and something happened in the office, and my friend got scared and never wants to go back in there again, and now he's having a hard time eating anything because he only has a couple of teeth, and he can't digest any, he can't chew.
So, all right, so then here is the... Here is the encouragement, Tracy.
Yeah.
So, do you know what you project onto people that causes you to want to be a bridge?
I project, my projection is that their resources are limited, and my bag of resources is, I have more in my resource bag, and that if I can give them the bridge of some resources that are available, then you know, what...
So it might be helpful to explore some of the assumptions.
Okay.
So one assumption would be that people want to be in a different place from where they are.
Yeah.
That another assumption would be that if they had something in addition to what they currently have, they would do with that what you would do with that.
Yeah.
And then another assumption would be that things would go a particular way, and then everybody would feel a certain way based on that.
Yeah.
Now, there might be lots more that you would see as you began to explore this.
Yeah.
But, again, this is a subtle place, and you'll be able to see it. there's a whole karmic pattern that is being held in place that remains unexamined because the focus is on someone else.
Okay.
And so, you know, in our practice, we talk about the practice of restraint and religious observances.
Yeah.
So if you were to restrain yourself, if you were to, now back to recording and listening, you break this down, okay? I'm assuming this, 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 and this, and you can get a lot of those assumptions from watching how this has gone in the past, okay? And you probably see very similar components in each one of them. So these are the assumptions that I'm coming from, and this is what happens as a result of that. So what I'm going to do, this is a reminder to yourself on your recordings, what I'm going to do is watch that impulse come up, and I'm not going to take action. And
okay.
I'm going to watch what happens to my karma when I don't go through the steps that play out something that appears to be an external issue, but in fact is maintaining an internal issue.
Mm. Oh, God.
Okay. Now, that's a great way that recording and listening can be used, because you really, now you're using it kind of like, yes, a mentor, yes, a coach, and also kind of a counselor or that sort of thing. So you can even take the next step. Now, of course, if you have an awareness coach, it's easier because then you have somebody to follow up with. But you can follow up by yourself. So you can say, you know, today is Tuesday, the, 6th of November or something, and I'm going to check in on this issue a week from today. Then you put a little reminder on your calendar to go to that recording, listen to it again, see where you are with it now, see what's going on with you now, and then record about that, what you see about that, what you've noticed, and it can be kind of, it becomes like a verbal form of a process map.
Okay. Gosh, Sherry, and I don't know if there's any more talk about, it feels like I get so overwhelmed with conditioned response, but you know, I've got a couple different recorders, and there's so much on them, and I've downloaded them, and some are in files, and some are random, and it almost feels like just this week I thought I just need to erase everything and almost start anew.
Well, here's my encouragement. If you can, get them onto a loop so that you can put them on a kind of a random shuffle.
Yes, yes.
And just listen to them, because here's the other thing about recording and listening that I don't know how many people have had this experience, but listening to that process will change your life as much as anything. It doesn't matter what's being said. It's the intention, and it's where it's being said from. That's the transformative part. So you listen to your voice talking to you about your life and what's important to you and who you are and what you're working on and what you want to remember and all of that, and that is what will transform you. Not the content, big surprise, not the content of it, but the process. So there's a way in which it's a funny kind of a thing, but it's on an emotional level, it really is accomplishing the same thing for an adult, for a grown-up, as reassurances accomplish for a young person.
Young person. It's so interesting you say that, because maybe this is what conditioning has done with recording. So I actually listen a lot. I have a file on my phone that's called Every Day. It's just like all the things that would be helpful to hear every day, and I just put it on shuffle, and there's hours of it on there. And, you know, what I've noticed is there's very similar things over the last couple of years. And so maybe this is conditioning that has come in and said, oh, my gosh, this is the same old, and you need to be looking at things from a different angle, because it's just it's the same track, which
that's
I think
right.
I started
that's
out.
That's right. You're right.
On.
That is karmic conditioning, because the thing about it is karma doesn't change.
Yeah.
And the
okay.
reason that we can stay trapped in the same karma through many, many lifetimes is because we're doing horizontal movement with it. So, for instance, mm-hmm. let's say relationship. So, mm-hmm. you start out in a relationship and you first of all, you know, you're unconscious for the first however many. But then you start to wake up a little bit. And this could be any relationship. It's your relationship with a partner. It's your parents. It's your kids. It's your boss. It's your coworkers. It doesn't really matter. The karma is the same. But we can't see that it's the same because it's all these different relationships, and we're looking at them, not us. Okay? So as I – and then if it's, you know, if it's, say, a partner, then I get tired of looking at that same karma, and I go get somebody else, and then I go get somebody right. else. And so what I'm doing is repeating the same karma through this little arc, and then when I get to the same place, the place where very likely something would change, if I were to stay there, then I move to the next person. So I'm just repeating the same known patterns that reinforce a belief in who I am.
Right.
Right? So if right. I'm listening, what I want to do is to listen to the same information until I get it that this is the important stuff. It's not finding some – so people like to do workshops or retreats with different topics because they feel like they're learning something or seeing something new, okay? And we indulge that because people think it's helpful. But what people are really doing is closing in on it doesn't matter what the subject is, I'm the same person, and I'm dealing with the same karma. So when you get to that place of this is the same old, same old, same old, same old, then, okay, good. The variables are reduced. So I don't have to any longer wonder which of these 150 things it is. I know it's these three things. Good. Now let's start digging.
Wow, that was great. You know, it was speaking of relationship, and this kind of popped in with me this morning, was the person I'm in a relationship with, we live in the same town 7 months and then we're apart for 5 months. And last year, 5 month time, and this year, 5 month time, my relationship within myself. So what dropped in this morning was, wow, I remember Sherry saying that spiritual practice doesn't start until you deal with self-hate. I was just in a conversation with someone, and they were like, how are you? I'm like, I'm doing really good. And like nothing, there's no specific anything. I'm just really good. And it's interesting how me being in a long-distance relationship with self-hate or with more self-hate and with way less self-hate, how different that is.
Yes.
And so that same karma has come in, but my relationship to the karma has really shifted without that something's wrong or feeling bad. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That was awesome.
Good. All right. Well, yeah. We got there,
okay,
didn't we?
We did. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, yay to recording and listening.
Pardon me?
I said yay to recording and listening.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is transformative. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Talk to you soon, Tracy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air, a special show on recording and listening. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I actually thought of something about recording and listening that I thought would be interesting to look at, sort of reflecting on what the practice has been for me. I've had amazing disidentification while recording, and like it's such, you know, it's been pretty mind-blowing of a tool.
Uh-huh.
And I guess my question was, when I go back to listen to those same recordings, specifically, I haven't seemed to be able to get into that disidentified place from listening.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, so I do listen to, you know, a lot, you know, all my recordings on shuffle and everything like that, and I started organizing them, and I do listen to them, but I never get that same disidentification that I get from recording.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. When you're listening to, so you were talking along and talking through something, and then you disidentified in a really big way. When you listen, do you hear that person that you're listening to is having that experience?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I do.
But you
don't
have the same experience she has.
Yeah.
That would be right.
So, well, yeah, so, but I'm curious to know, I guess, I don't know, there was a bunch of questions that came up, but, like, if I'm, like, I never seem to be, like, the right person who's listening to whatever recording it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, to match it up. So, we were having a conversation last week about, like, the person who's listening.
Uh-huh.
Isn't how to say, you were saying it was a recording about like exercising, and it was like the person who was listening to it was the person who didn't want to exercise.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think I'm with you. Which is hugely, again, I guess this must be a really subtle subject, but that's a hugely important realization. So what we're meant to believe is, so I am talking about some difficulty I'm having at work, and I'm trying to see through what's going on with me, and suddenly I have this huge insight about what it is, and I disidentify. I mean, I can feel myself move from being the person who is really trying to see what's going on in this situation to somebody who's stepped out of it, and I'm a different person. Okay. Now, then I pick up my recorder next day, next week, whatever, and I'm going to listen. And what we're meant to believe is that I should pick up the recorder and have a particular experience. And if I don't, then that means something. Now, all of that is going on a really subterranean level, okay? And what I don't catch on to until, you know, we have a conversation like this, is that I'm being set up. I'm actually identified with karmic conditioning enough that I'm looking to it to see how I'm doing as the listener of the recordings.
Right.
So I'm not
right.
actually present to the recording. I'm present,
yeah.
right? You with me?
Yeah. I think I see what you're getting at.
Yeah. Now, the really fun part about that is then I get to see a tool that egocentric karmic conditioning is using against me. And that is a thousand times more significant in awareness practice than having an experience, a particular emotional experience that karmic conditioning is telling me I should have when I listen to recordings. Did you follow me on that one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because so similar, I feel like, and, you know, I noticed that a tool that conditioning used to get me to not, like, I don't know, I would kind of go numb or not go blank every time I asked, you know, tried to, you know, summon the mentor or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a tool, you know. I can see that I'm blocked here, and I can feel that I'm blocked here.
Yes.
And, okay, so, yeah.
And
so,
Zoe, the thing about that, what you're meant to do is to give up.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, in awareness practice, and people do, and we did, right? We did. We heard those messages. We believed it. We took it on, took it personally, and quit when we were guided to quit. Now what we're doing is instead of looking to conditioned mind for its assessment of how I'm doing, so that's where almost everybody lives, even well into an awareness practice, okay? That's what's going on. I'm walking around in the world looking to conditioned mind tell me how I'm doing, to tell me how I'm doing, okay?
Yeah.
Now what we're doing is going around in life watching conditioned mind do what it does. That is a completely different reality. Can you sense that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's stepping off into a different universe. Because now my eyes are actually on life and me. And life and me are looking at how conditioned mind operates.
Yeah, and you know what? I think conditioned mind had me looking to conditioned mind.
Yes.
To see how I'm doing under the guise of watching conditioning. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's
clear?
Oh, absolutely. Because what it's saying is, now you need to get, and of course it doesn't say you need to look to conditioned mind. It's just
Right, yeah.
That's where we look, right? So we look there to watch the human being to see whether or not she's really practicing, or is she identified, or was she really aware when that, right? And that, for a long time, for a lot of people, passes as awareness practice. So with the recording and listening, what's possible for us now is to record those scenarios, right? So I could record exactly that. Okay, so So I can see how conditioned mind has me looking to it to tell me how I'm doing with my awareness practice. If I'm centered, if I'm identified, how aware I am. What I want to do instead is start watching what it's doing. Now, that could be a lot of recordings. Okay, am I watching what conditioning is doing, or am I looking to it for information about how I'm doing? So where's the focus? So today I want to come back to the present 10 times. I'm going to set an alarm, and what I'm going to watch for is what the voices are saying, how they're judging me, how they're comparing me to how I should be. I want to watch how they're doing that. Go from there.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome. Now, you're going to call back in and let me know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is big. This is big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pulled over on the side of the road listening to the radio show on my way home from work so that I would just listen to the radio show and not go home and do other things, which
Very
is
good.
What happens. Yeah.
Very
so,
good.
And it's fun because I actually, when I got in the car, I thought I'm going to call in and I'm going to ask about the recording and listening because I didn't hear that one, the October 16th show, I think. I haven't heard that yet. But I'd heard talk about talking to the grown-up, and I wanted to hear more about that, and I've been practicing with that myself just in what I could sort of gather, you know, just for myself, what I've sort of come up with on my own around that.
And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and you're seeing?
Oh, and I love the, if I'm understanding, it's like one of my big places I record and listen around is going to work. And I definitely want a grown-up to be going to work.
Yes.
And for the most part, it's something that, you know, it's like for the most part, it's like a happy person goes to work. But what I really am wanting to bring into that is presence. That because I look at it like a way to practice all day long, if I can remember to be present.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That's a powerful distinction you're making. If I'm understanding you, it's great that you're happy to go to work, but you'd like to be present while you're there as well.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and so that's what I talk about a lot with the mentor on my way to work is to just, that's my intention when I go to work. I want to remember to come back to my breath and, you know, remember. Kindness and listening, you know, because that's not, I have a huge karmic disposition to not listen, to just
to other people or to yourself or
to other people. Like until I came to practice, I probably spent most of the time when someone else was talking in my head trying to come up with the next thing I was going to say and not really hearing what they were going to say, not really hearing what they said.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably how I was for most of my life. Uh-huh. And I mean, to the point where I could even answer things. I even knew how to answer conversations that I really wasn't even aware I was having, sort of, if you asked me after the fact, if that makes any sense. So this is, you know, so practice and reflective listening and all that has been huge for me.
Uh-huh.
And I will probably work on that the rest of my life.
Yes, we all will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I mean, just listening. And being present.
Yeah. So yeah. Something that it could just, since you do a practice and a consistent, strong practice, this is something that might be fun to consider. So you're going along to work, and what you're basically saying is, I want to do this. I want to be present. I want to listen. Which is great. Maybe a language change that could be helpful is I choose. So not just I want to as some kind of out there, but I'm making a conscious choice that this is the case. But here's a little something else. And that is to see what it would be like to talk to Karen. So to talk to the person who wants to go to work as a grown-up, who wants to be present, who wants to listen, who wants to, you know, whatever it is. And the conversation on the way to work is between the mentor, which you're going to be playing both roles, of course, and that's just how it is, between the mentor and the Karen who wants to go to work and be and do these things. So she is talking about how she wants to be at work, what's important to her, and the experience that she chooses to have, and like that. And then as the mentor, you are offering her support and assistance. So she gets to talk about how she wants things to be, what she chooses for herself, and as the mentor, you sort of reflect that for her and perhaps help her come up with ways that she could support herself in doing that during the day. And I'm curious to see if you feel a difference in doing that, because it takes it out of there's one voice as the whole thing.
So it's kind of like, it sounds like it's sort of like a, sort of like that two-chair facilitation, but the mentor is facilitating Karen.
Yes, facilitating the person who wants to be awake in life.
Yeah,
chooses conscious awareness. So you know there are lots of people who live inside of Karen who want all different kinds of things.
Yes.
And the person chooses to be conscious throughout the day. Now, of course, I mean, there could also be a desire to be conscious with family and with all of the other things that go on. But this is a specific place to practice with this. So there she is. She's going to be the little bodhisattva of the workplace. And this is what she's choosing, and this is how she's going to go about it, and this is the structure that she is going to set up for herself. And then as the mentor, you assist in reflecting and drawing out and clarifying and offering encouragement and perhaps tips and that sort of thing. So it becomes a relationship. It's very easy for egocentric karmic conditioning to come in and take over I. You see the difference that I'm trying to make?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so you're talking about, I mean, what I'm seeing as this would be happening is that there would be a conversation between the mentor and the one that is choosing to go to work and practice awareness and practice being awake. And it's different than just somebody speaking into the recorder and saying, I want to be awake and I want to, and it's, And then the mentor is coming in with ways to, you know, maybe tips on how to do that and helping that part, well, I would say be successful.
Yes. And again, as we were talking about earlier, there can be an accountability component to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the recording. This is my, you know, if we go, it's the best year yet. You know, it's Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laying out my week, and I'm focusing on this and this and this. And this week, the three practices that I'm going to be focusing on, or making a change for good, the three things I'm going to focus on for this week are da 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 da. And so I hear that recording every morning. You know, the conscious Karen has a chance to talk about what she saw and what she ran into, and then we have that conversation. We lay out the strategy. We check in a week later. How did that go? What did you see? Because this is for everybody. You know, when I pick up the recorder and I say I, it's really tricky, especially. Well, anytime. For people who are beginning practice, really tricky. And even after practicing for a while, to have a good sense of who that I is. So it could be karmic conditioning who's saying all the right words with absolutely no intention whatsoever of doing anything but sabotaging and distracting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hear a difference when it's you're talking to the practitioner. There's a conversation between the practitioner and the mentor.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can see that because I know how I feel when I'm facilitated.
Yes.
And so it would be that same sort of thing.
Yeah, it just really increases our chances of being and remaining disidentified.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe, just really helping out too during the day with that. I don't know. I don't want to call it a goal, but it is sort of a goal.
It is
like,
a goal. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
it's a goal.
You know, just because what's been happening somewhat is that I go to work with the intention and it's sometimes it's that sense when I get to work that I step on a banana peel and at the end of the day I slide. I
slide into your car.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa, what happened to all that? You know.
Yes. And this really takes it into a project. You know, so we're going to check in on the way to work. We're going to check in at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
See how that's going. You know, maybe there are breaks morning and afternoon, even if it's just a couple of minutes, and you create the check-ins that the two of you do together, so that she doesn't feel, you know, that step on a banana peel can feel like being abandoned for the person who is attempting to stay conscious.
Yeah.
So again, it's now there are two working on it together, and there's way more strength in that than just one little person going off. Trying to make all of this happen against these giant forces arrayed to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
That
feels like you've laid out a way to actually work on things with this, or actually, you know, get to be doing like a little workshop.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it concrete. Make it specific. Yeah. Which
mm-hmm.
is always helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, now again, you're going to let me know because, when we go off on these projects, it's helpful to report back. And hopefully other people are listening, and if somebody resonates with it, then they can go, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that too. And then they report back so that we
really
build a good body of information for folks who are starting on this.
Yeah. Well, I will then.
Good, good.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And that was a fabulous show, Sherry.
Yeah, I thought so too. I really enjoyed it. I love hearing the specifics of this, I wonder if, you know, Jen will maybe encourage us to do this periodically, just to kind of keep the momentum going. I think the, you know, we have a group, you definitely know, we have a group of facilitators in our practice. And we were on a call the other night with all of the facilitators, and they've decided to make November recommit to recording and listening month. And I actually suggested that we do it in December because, you know, we're already a week into November. But that kind of, you know, making that commitment either now or for next month or whenever people would feel that it was most supportive of them, we all make that commitment that we're going to, you know, practice slides off in these directions, and so we're going to really grab those reins again and recommit to the practice, because what we hear over and over and over is how powerful it is, how helpful it is, which is, you know, that's why we get talked out of doing it. So if you want to join the facilitators and the monks and me, then recommit. I think I'll just recommit right through, well, I record and listen every day anyway, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, you know, through the New Year's retreat, because this, we're coming into a really stressful time, and if we can get that mentor assisting, guiding us through it, then we're going to come out ahead of the game. So just an idea.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
And Jen, and thanks to everybody out there listening and who called in. Happy recording and listening.
Yes, okay. And we'll do it again next week.
Yes. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.